Good morning, everybody. Yes, indeed, this is Carl McIntyre. We got on our fighting clothes today. We've got a wonderful opportunity to stand up for the Lord, to give you people a blessed testimony. You know, I'm taking this resolution of the House of Representatives of the state of Pennsylvania, in which they proceeded to attack me and to say that my views were dangerous to the country. And I'm going down through, statement by statement, the things which they had to say in the state legislature against Dr. Carl McIntyre. And today we've come to that point where they say that he built his own house of worship. So we'll discuss that phrase today, and in the next broadcast we'll discuss the next one. He set up his own church federation, the American Council of Christian Churches. So here's the state of Pennsylvania, a sovereign state, through its House of Representatives, attacking a religious leader, seeking to defame, to demean, to in some way or other convince the public that this man of whom they're speaking lacks the social and public responsibility, as they put it, to be a radio licensee, though of course I'm not such a licensee. But in order to build the case for an investigation of the radio station, WXUR, by the Federal Communications Commission, they had to go into all my religious activities and make these pronouncements concerning the same, which, of course, is none of the business of any state legislature anywhere. But I tell you, as goes the church, so goes the nation. And freedom is everybody's business. And the state of Pennsylvania now has given Carl McIntyre the opportunity to use all these facilities that God has placed in our hands to give a precious and glorious personal testimony to you people concerning his life, his ministry, his gospel preaching, and the things for which he stands. So we want all of you to listen and especially get into the spirit of the tremendous movement that God has made us all a part. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, we have called this great convocation on the Capitol steps in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the capital of the Keystone State, on February the 12th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And there's a marvelous spirit mounting through this area in behalf of religious freedom and against the religious persecution and discrimination which is here so evident on the part of the Democratic Party. The Democratic majority put this resolution through. But ladies and gentlemen, I am taking now the opportunity which God has given to me, since he has given us all these radio stations throughout this land and our shortwave around the world, to take these accusations made by the state of Pennsylvania one by one and discuss them with you people in the light of my own personal experience, because I'm the one that is attacked. Thank God he spared my life to this day, that I might be able to speak out of the experiences which I've had in these last 30 years in this country of ours, preaching the gospel and standing for the faith of our fathers.
Amen.
Now, this statement of the House of Representatives said, Reverend McIntyre began his ministry with the Presbyterian Church in the USA, but was ousted from the clergy of that denomination in 1936. It's none of the business of the state of Pennsylvania where I started my ministry, ladies and gentlemen. But I started my ministry in a Presbyterian manse. I was born in a Presbyterian manse, and my father was a faithful Bible preacher and pastor of the First Presbyterian Church of Ypsilanti, Michigan, when I saw the light of day. And I've given you my personal life on up until I went into seminary, and then I became the pastor of this great Collingswood Church. In my last broadcast, I discussed with you my experience in having the privilege of saying that obedience to the Word of God was above commandments and orders of a General Assembly when they directed that you do something contrary to your conscience and contrary to the Word of God. And I told you the ecclesiastical trial that we had because I was a member of the Independent Board for Presbyterian Foreign Missions, which is a great missionary agency today, and I'm the Vice President of that board today. And how I refused to resign my membership in that board and then support the officially approved denominational board under orders of the General Assembly. We couldn't support the officially approved agency because we knew it was sending out missionaries and publishing literature for our churches which were teaching another gospel. And beloved, there's no power on this earth that can compel a Christian to support another gospel.
Amen.
It just isn't here. When a Christian believes that Jesus Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him.
Yes, amen.
Well, following this disgraceful action, ordering me suspended from the ministry and the communion of the church, on June the 15th, 1936, my great congregation had a congregational meeting, and by formal resolution, they renounced the jurisdiction of the denomination and said, we will preserve our faith in accordance with the Great Westminster Assembly's confession.
Amen.
It was a historic night.
Wonderful.
And I was there that night, and our church was filled, and there were only 8 people in the entire congregation that voted against it or came to vote against that resolution. I shall never forget the speeches of the people as they arose one after another in support of this great resolution that we preserve our faith. I remember one of the elders of the church, Mr. R.S. Wigfield. He's still alive and serving on the session of the church today. He was the clerk of the borough here in Collingswood. He arose and he said that if necessary, he would sign that resolution in his own blood. That we must have a church which would be obedient to the Word of God. And that we couldn't remain in fellowship with the denominational General Assembly, which by judicial action would seek to enforce its decrees over the consciences of men and put their word above the Word of God in the life of the church and of the denomination.
Amen.
And our church took its stand and stepped out.
Yes.
Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, that wasn't starting my own house of worship. They already had a house of worship. They already had a church. A whole big, lovely, Bible-believing church came out in one great mass and took this stand. I didn't start a house of worship, ladies and gentlemen. Besides, it wasn't my own. This belongs to the people of God. Well, this congregation here in Collingswood, and Collingswood, I must say, is a middle-class suburban community here in this great metropolitan area surrounding Philadelphia on the East Coast. And this church had built their own beautiful Gothic church structure. A magnificent auditorium with stained glass windows and a $10,000 set of chimes in the church tower had been given as a memorial by one of the trustees of the church, and we had a beautiful, lovely house of worship with a separate Sunday school unit and a lovely place. And I preached in that building 5 years, ladies and gentlemen, until the civil court order came in 1938 declaring that the property belonged to the denomination and that our people would have to recognize that and we'd have to get out. Now, in the civil court case, ladies and gentlemen, we had the finest legal advice in this area. Judge S. Russelling Leap was our chief counsel, a highly esteemed gentleman in this area who had served faithfully in the bar. And we sought in the civil court to challenge the action of the Presbyterian General Assembly as a violation of the Compact of Trust, the Constitution, to which we were committed. But though the courts will look into these matters as it concerns fraternal organizations and labor unions and questions of this kind, this court refused to look into this matter from the standpoint of the Constitution and the action of the General Assembly. So the decision was that the property belonged to the denomination as a whole. There was nothing in the Constitution of the Church that said so. And may I advise all you people in the United Presbyterian Church that when they had their union just several years ago, the Constitution now has provisions in it, which they have put in the Constitution of the Church, that you can't buy or sell or put any obligations on your church property without the consent of the presbytery. So, by a process which does not involve due process at all under the Constitution of the United States, by this action in the church's constitution, they, of course, have taken all the properties away from the local churches. Well, I shall never forget tonight, ladies and gentlemen, when we withdrew. It was a great day in the life of the church, and I have here the Christian beacons of these days, and here the great headlines that were across the our paper in those days, Collingswood Church loses its property, pastor people to leave. You see it, Charlie?
Yes.
Here was the next week, Collingswood Church walks out of church, will worship in tent. Great rejoicing marks last service in building, broadcast to continue. And then the story is that there were 1,200 of us leaving. There were no auditoriums or halls in the area that would handle a crowd of this size. And ladies and gentlemen, when we walked out that night, I preached my last sermon. We went out and there were souls saved that night. I'll never forget, the church was packed and jammed and chairs were in the aisles of the church. And we walked out on the lawn of the church, and here you had 1,000 people gathered in the night singing, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tenderest care. And we pronounced the benediction, and we went out not knowing where we would meet on Friday night for our preparatory service, or where we would be the next Sunday morning. And this people was in prayer meetings all over the area here, and the committee's working, and ladies and gentlemen, we live near Philadelphia, and we went over to Philadelphia and rented a great Chautauqua tent, which would accommodate 1,200 people. And we went down on the main street here to an old apple orchard, and we cleared away a section, and by Friday night, we had a great tent up. And I preached in that tent. We had some sawdust on the ground, a little platform that we'd put up there. And that place was filled, and we received 88 new members into the congregation of the church.
Amen.
Beloved, when the Presbyterian Church took our property from us, and it was our property, our people built it and paid for it, they took every single penny we had in the bank. We went out penniless, and we went out with absolutely nothing. And when we met that first Sunday down there in that tent here on this corner, oh, it was the most precious service of communion I believe I'd ever had in my life. They said we couldn't take communion, ladies and gentlemen, but we took communion that day in paper cups. We had nothing to hold the grape juice, and we could, of course, hold the bread, and I preached a sermon on the Word of God and how it must be supreme over the consciences of men, and that we must serve God.
Amen.
Here was the New Testament spirit. Here was the faith of our fathers who let goods and kindred go. I issued a statement, of course, at that time. We issued a number of statements, and I have here in the Christian Beacon back in those days, and may I just read you from the statement summarizing this, in view of the decision of the Vice Chancellor, this is the civil court, just as soon as this decree is made final, we shall leave the property of the Collingswood Presbyterian Church. We have remained in this building fully believing that we had a right to it. We love this building. Our people paid for its construction. Many precious associations are attached to it. But we love the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth and the authority of the Bible more. And then we come on down a little further. The trouble with our world today and with the trend of things in America is that men have gotten away from the great truths of the Word of God. The very truths for which we are standing are those which built our country and made it great. Yet on every hand today, they are being discarded to the great peril of our land. God has asked very little of us compared to what He has asked of our forefathers or to what He is asking of Christians in other parts of the world today. He has said, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. I'm reading a statement which I issued at that time, ladies and gentlemen, and it was published here. Our heart is filled with joy, for we know that God has permitted this for a real testimony to His name. Beloved, whoever thought that 30 years later the state of Pennsylvania in its House of Representatives would use this action of our people and my place as an under-shepherd in a resolution adopted in the House of Representatives to defame and discredit the name of Dr. Carl McIntyre. And that in God's eternal purposes we'd have all these radio stations at our command today, and I could sit here and give you a personal testimony showing you that we're having religious persecution, religious intolerance,
religious discrimination at the hands of the Democratic Party here in the state of Pennsylvania.
Right.
Oh, beloved, it's serious beyond words. These are the mighty issues that relate to faith and obedience and love of God.
Amen.
But let me read you just a little further. We invite Christian people everywhere to remember us in their prayers, that we may stand, and having done all, to stand. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper He, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not His equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing? Thus ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same. And He must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Amen.
And so we went into a tent, ladies and gentlemen, on a street corner, thrown out. They thought we were despised. But, oh, God gathered us up in His precious arms. And here in Collingswood, New Jersey, I've been privileged to stay for these 32 years. And we have a congregation now of 1,700 people. And, oh, how God has given us a mighty testimony here. We built a tabernacle, and then we built a great Sunday school unit. And the day we moved into this great Sunday school unit, we had it paid for with the tithes and offerings of the people. And now we have a magnificent, beautiful temple here, a modified early colonial American, and our whole setup down here is equal to a city block. And we have far more, and we're far better than we were before all this happened to us, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
This is my testimony to you people. And these men up here said that McIntyre built his own house of worship. No, beloved, the people of God built a house of worship.
Amen.
And they called me to be their preacher and to expound to them the Word of God. And that they, by the grace and help of Almighty God, could be faithful to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Last evening I looked over these records. And I went back and saw the session that we had in those days, 30 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. And man after man that stood with this young pastor 27, 28, 29 years ago, they're in glory today.
Yes.
They're in glory today. And I've seen hundreds of people through these years sit in these pews, come to Christ, worship with us, and then look into the face of Jesus Christ and go home to glory because they were redeemed by the precious blood.
Amen.
And no earthly power, no political unit, no House of Representatives in the state of Pennsylvania has any right to defame a minister or a congregation because they built their own house of worship.
Amen.
They have no right to do that in the United States of America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, out of this, of course, came the new denomination, the Bible Presbyterian General Synod. And these great resolutions that were adopted in those days when the General Synod met, it met here in Collingswood, and these men came from all over this country. And the first resolution they adopted was that these censures which had been pronounced upon these Presbyterian clergymen were null and void. They had no standing under the Constitution or before the Word of God. That God alone is Lord of the conscience and hath left it free from the doctrines and the commandments of men. or anything which in any wise is contrary to His holy word.
Amen.
And then in another great resolution, the Bible Presbyterian Church proceeded to declare that it would carry on a great spiritual succession and a witness which the Presbyterian Church in the USA had so tragically abandoned when in its judicial decision it put its word supreme and sought to enforce its word over the consciences of men above the word of God. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this is church history in the 20th century. And it's the part of a great movement that's unfolding. And in my next broadcast, I'm going into the section where he said he built his own federation, the American Council of Christian Churches. And then you Baptists can come into the picture, and you Evangelical Methodists come into the picture, and you Methodist Protestants and Bible Protestants and all these other groups come into the picture. And here are the groups, ladies and gentlemen, that have gone without the camp, bearing a reproach, you see. We've met in tents, we've met in halls, we've met in barns, we've met in homes, we've met in all these various places, in order that we might serve God according to His commandments and not be unequally yoked together with this teaching and with this false doctrine which denies the blessed way of everlasting life.
Yes. Amen.
Now, the only reason I can talk like this to you today is that we still have religious liberty protected under the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. And you're free in this country to go to the church of your choice. You can leave a church. You can join some other church. You can build a church of your own if you want to. And the state of Pennsylvania has no business raising questions about the kind of churches you build or where you go or how you worship or who leads you in your worship. It's none of the business of the state of Pennsylvania what the Bible Presbyterians do.
That's right.
Now, don't miss the next broadcast, because God will be in it too. Amen.